This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Does civil disobedience really get you excited? Go to freestateproject.org, get signed up, move to New Hampshire, get involved with the next wave of liberty activism, and be the next Rosa Parks. The Free State Project is your best chance for liberty in your lifetime. freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
What an honor to have as our guest today, Mr. Peter Schiff. Peter is here in Auburn as the Henry Hazlitt Memorial Lecturer, gave us an extraordinary talk, and Peter's the author of Bull Moves and Bear Markets, Crash Proof. He's the president of Euro-Pacific Capital, of course the star of stage, screen, and television. We all see him and cheer him on CNBC and Fox Business and the other places he appears. Peter, one of the things that really attracted me about your talk today was when you were talking about renting versus buying and the housing bubble and why you're better off as a renter. You want to address that a little bit?
Sure. You know, I've been a renter for a while, and people used to laugh at me for renting my house because they made fun of me because I was throwing my money away on rent. And I had to remind people that I wasn't throwing away any of my money. I had a great place to live. And, you know, I didn't throw money away on food. I didn't throw money away on clothing. And so it wasn't throwing money away renting a place to live. I needed to live someplace. But, of course, the mentality was that you were throwing money away because you were foregoing all the profits associated with home ownership. And in my mind, it wasn't profits I was throwing away, but expenses and headaches. And I knew as a educated consumer looking at real estate realistically that economically I was far better off renting than buying. But everybody else just assumed that they were better off buying because they assumed appreciation. But what they forgot to understand was that the assets were already overvalued based on what you could rent a similar house for. So if an asset is already overvalued based on rental alternatives or cash flow, why should that asset appreciate? That was the flaw in their analysis. And of course, now that real estate prices are falling, I read a study recently that showed that over the past 5 years, renters are now wealthier than buyers of homes in all income classes. And I'm sure ultimately that will be over a 10-year period. But, you know, at some point in time, when real estate actually becomes cheap enough that renting is no longer economically better than buying, then I might decide to buy a place. But, you know, for a lot of people, you know, renting makes a lot more sense than buying anyway. It all depends. I mean, you know, when they were interviewing people that were buying homes, and people were buying homes and taking ARMs as opposed to 30-year fixed, and the most popular reason for an ARM was the intention of the home buyer to only live in the house for a few years. Well, if you're going to buy a house and only live there for 3 or 4 years, I mean, why would you buy it? You would rent it because you have a lot of costs, just transaction costs, to buy and sell a house. It doesn't make sense. Now, if you're planning on living in a house for 30 years and paying off a mortgage and, you know, and raising your kids there and retiring there and rocking on the front, you know, porch, then it might make sense. But if you're planning on moving every few years, I mean, it's ridiculous to buy. The only reason people were buying is because they were speculating. They thought they would get rich. Or maybe they bought because of a tax break that they thought they were getting. But of course, there's the government distorting the market by trying to create a phony incentive to buy when renting would be more economically viable for the individual.
Peter, do people go crazy in these Fed-generated artificial booms? I mean, you know, you mentioned today about the fact that in 99, nobody cared about dividends. In fact, in the present, in the stock market boom in the next decade, people didn't care about dividends.
Well, they still don't care.
And they don't care about the rental price of a house. It had nothing to do with the buying price.
Yeah, well, they were buying because they thought they would sell. I mean, it was all the greater fool. It was that prices would rise no matter what. And the way you made money in real estate was the same way you made money in stocks. You bought the asset, it appreciated, and you sold it. And of course, you had to sell it to a greater fool because the person was accepting an even lower valuation. He was paying an even higher price for an overvalued asset. But at some point, it ends. You run out of fools and the whole thing collapses. You know, you had all these people who were trying to flip their condos in Vegas or Phoenix or Miami, but eventually there's nobody left to flip. Somebody has to be willing to live. Someone has to occupy that condo. And the minute they ran out of flippers, the price has to collapse to a realistic price, realistic to where somebody will actually pay the price to occupy the condo.
Well, Doug French, who was a banker in Las Vegas before coming to work for the Institute, says that houses that sold for $200 a square foot now sell for $50 a square foot in Las Vegas. And he thinks that that's going down. And he said the $50 square foot price is the land for free, or the house for free, however you want to look at it. But he said that's only the beginning. It's actually got to go much lower than that.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is those houses never should have been built. I mean, that's why they're worthless, because they shouldn't have built them in the first place, because there's no real demand for those houses. People can't afford them. Ultimately, homes are going to be priced where they're affordable. It doesn't matter what it costs to construct them. Now, eventually, people are going to stop building homes if you can't build them at a profit, which is a good thing, because we don't need to waste more of our resources building homes when we have a glut of homes. We need to let prices fall. But ultimately, if you think about the landscape of potential buyers, right, especially since home ownership is already near record levels. I mean, it's hard to find people other than myself who don't own a home.
Yeah.
And those are the potential pool of buyers. But assuming that we return to a normal lending environment where Americans need a 20% down payment and they need to be able to prove they can actually afford a mortgage with a realistic interest rate without a government subsidy, how low would homes have to fall in order for them to be affordable to broke Americans? And when you figure that the unemployment rate in some states is now upwards of 10%, and it could rise to 15 to 20% over the next several years, how are all these unemployed people going to afford houses, especially when so many new houses are going to be on the market?
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
How would the transition to a free society happen? Libertarian media? Lawsuits against the state? How about libertarians elected in increasing numbers, even to the state legislature? All of these things have already happened in New Hampshire. Find out more at freestateproject.org.
Were too many people drawn into the stock market as well? Too many people became homeowners? I've always thought in the 1920s as well as recently, were there people drawn into the stock market who actually have no business being in the stock market?
Sure. Well, sure. I mean, a lot of people were in the stock market because they bought into the Wall Street nonsense that just buy stocks and they're going to go up. And of course, with interest rates so low and people undersaving, they had to buy. That was their only hope, right? They couldn't get a decent yield and they didn't have any savings anyway. Their only hope was to bet it all on stocks and hope it paid off. Well, they bet wrong and they made the same bets in real estate. But I know for a fact that a substantial percentage of the people who were buying houses were only doing it to make money.
Yes.
They were convinced that buying a house was going to make them rich. And a lot of those people who are in their homes right now would be walking away from their mortgages if the government wasn't trying to keep them in their homes with special programs. But, you know, they don't even want those homes. They only wanted the appreciation. They'd rather rent. But they were conned into buying because renting was throwing money away. Why throw money away when you can get rich? In fact, the way people believed that you got rich in this country was not through hard work and savings and excelling. The way you got rich was owning a home. That was the American dream. Own a home and get rich. So everybody wanted to get rich. So everybody bought homes, you know?
And ever since Franklin Roosevelt with the FHA and all the developments that have come from the federal government, they've been stimulating everybody to buy a home, and now the whole thing is blown up in their faces and our faces.
The result of all the stimulus was increasing home prices. And, you know, you talk to, you know, your grandparents, and they'll tell you, you know, I bought my first home. It was $2,000. What was wrong with that? You know, I mean, why do homes have to be so expensive? I mean, the government acts like high home prices are a good thing. Well, why? I mean, it's a good thing if you're trying to sell your house. It's certainly not a good thing if you're trying to buy your house. I mean, low home prices benefit buyers. And of course, if you live in a house and don't sell it, what difference does it make what it's worth? So it doesn't, high home prices don't even benefit people who live in homes because they're not selling. Now, for a while, people were benefiting from high home prices because they can borrow against their homes. But that was a bad thing, the fact that people borrowed against their homes and spent the money. We shouldn't try to jack up home prices just so Americans can go deeper into debt.
And of course, we are very deeply into debt. Are the debts going to be paid?
Well, they can't be paid. It's impossible. They can only be repudiated. The question is how? Do we honestly repudiate? Do we just default? Or do we just create inflation and pay off our creditors with, you know, debased money or worthless money? But I mean, that's what's going to happen. And unfortunately, we're going to keep going deeper and deeper into debt until the lenders stop lending. So there's no way they're going to get paid back because we basically are on a course where we will accumulate additional debt until they realize they're not going to get paid back and stop lending.
I heard Maria Bartiromo on CNBC the other day say in response to somebody who was saying it was a good idea that the savings rates was going up. She said, well, you know, it's not really such a good idea because, you know, the world goes round on debt.
Well, it doesn't go round on debt. I mean, it's collapsing because of debt. It stopped going round.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's that old, you know, like the Keynes, the paradox of thrift, which is not a paradox at all. The only paradox is that people are dumb enough to believe it. I mean, thrift is what we need. Savings are what we need. I mean, that's what grows an economy. But, you know, I mean, the people on CNBC, they don't understand that. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, they're entertainers or journalists. I mean, they're not economists. And, you know, I was on CNBC, Erin Burnett, you know, talking about gold. And she said to me, she says, you know, I don't understand why gold has any value. She says, it's all perception. She said, it only has value because people think it has value. I'm like, Erin, wait, you're describing paper money. That's why the dollar has value. Gold has real value. I mean, it's, you know, but, you know, they're so brainwashed. They don't understand.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have always talked about, made the great point that the politicians were always blabbing about affordable housing. Well, all of a sudden, housing starts to become affordable and they're shocked and horrified and want to prevent that from taking place.
Look, affordable housing means lower home prices. But what the government's definition of affordable is, let's prop home prices up and let's subsidize your ability to go into debt to buy the house. That's the same approach to education. I mean, why is education so expensive? Why, you know, why is it that my father went to college based on working as a waiter over the summer and he graduated without any debt and he paid for it all by himself? Can anybody get a job as a waiter over the summer and fully fund a college degree anymore? No. Is it because, is college so much better than it was in the 1950s? No, it's probably worse. But the only thing is the government is so involved in education and has funneled so much money into it and has guaranteed loans so that anybody who wants to borrow money to go to college can borrow it with a government guarantee. Therefore, there are no free market disciplines on universities to keep prices down. In fact, there's every incentive to raise prices every year because they know the students are going to be able to borrow the money to pay the prices. And so now we have college education costs a fortune, but we can all go because we can get into debt. If the government only stopped subsidizing student lending and totally pulled out, it wouldn't be like Americans couldn't go to school anymore. We'd all still go to college. It's just that college would be less expensive because the universities would be forced to cut tuitions and to accommodate and to economize. Now, it's true. Probably fewer people would go to college because a lot of people are going to college because they don't know what to do. They're just wasting their time. They're drinking beer and partying for 4 years because it's free or because they can get a government loan. But you know what? What's the point? They're getting a degree in nothing, and they're not trained for anything. They'd be better off skipping college and going to work.
Well, is this all coming to an end? I mean, is this fantastic edifice of government-supported higher education built up ever since the GI Bill?
Sure.
Are they going to be able to sustain it?
Look, one of the reasons that student loans are not being repaid is because the students can't earn enough money. So it's obvious at this point that a college degree is not worth the price of getting it. That even though you might earn a little bit more money, you don't earn enough. I mean, why should someone want to graduate from college with a mortgage and out of house? I mean, it's like, why not just go to work? In fact, I hire people at my company. I couldn't care less where they went to college. It doesn't even matter to me if somebody went to college. I mean, I've got other criteria that I'm looking at. And, you know, a college education is not that important for certain jobs. Yeah, I want my doctor to go to college, you know, because he's operating on me. I want him to go to medical school. You know, but I don't need, you know, there's a lot of jobs that don't require a college education. And there's a lot of college educated people working near minimum wage. I mean, working for $8, $9 an hour, you know, in a call center. Do they need a college degree for that?
Well, Peter Schiff, you're a voice of sanity on television and in your writing. And it sure is an honor to have you here at the Institute. And you wowed the crowd, as I imagine happens every time you speak. And thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. And what wows the crowd is that I speak the truth. It's not necessarily me. It's simply what I'm saying.
Well, you do tell the truth, but it's the truth bearer as well. So thank you for bearing truth.
Well, thanks for allowing me to do it.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.